couple of weeks talking about the Tzemach Tzedek's life, Tzemach Tzedek of Lubavitch, speaking about his life. So we've been spending the last few weeks learning different teachings of the Tzemach Tzedek. And we've spoken so far about Ahavas Yisrael and his teachings, the Derech Mitzvah Secha, the Mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, of Duchening, of the Kohanim benching the people. And I decided that I would like to spend probably this time and next time studying the subject of Simcha, of joy, since it's a major subject in Chassidus, and to get a little taste of the Tzemach Tzedek's approach to the subject. This is connected. I think there were maybe one or two people who heard the Shiur Tuesday that I gave in Queens. So I mentioned there a piece of this Tzemach Tzedek, and it's connected to Bechlal, to the Shiur that I didn't say in the Shul Shabbos, but will be available as soon as Shalom Yonah takes care of it. Right. So let's learn the subject on Simcha, the subject of Simcha. Like everything, like all the writings of the Tzemach Tzedek, there's tremendous, tremendous oimek, tremendous depth, and you can't take a break. And when you're learning it, you can't drift off for 30 seconds, because when you come back, you missed it. You got to pay close attention. Discussing the subject of Simcha, and he explains first the term in Hebrew oneg, which we've spoken about before here in the shul. Oneg, which means delight. Everybody's familiar with the term oneg Shabbos, but on a deep level, the Rebbe writes v'hinyin hu shekabolos, on the right hand side, v'hinyin hu shekabolos tanug hu davki midovra hofchi mimenu. So he begins by telling us that tanug, delight, intense pleasure, which says in the Sefer Yetzirah, there's nothing more wonderful than oneg. There's nothing worse than nega, which is the reversal of those letters, which is that horrible skin disease or whatever it means in ruchnius and spirituality, and there's nothing that's more wonderful as an oneg. Oneg is great. So the Tzemach Tzedek begins by saying that in order to have tanug, the greatest tanug that one can receive is from something which is ahav chimimenu, which is the opposite of what you are. Now that sounds very unusual. By the non-Jews, there's a ridiculous expression, opposites attract, which, although it's ridiculous because it's applied to love between, it's supposed to be used, like when you see two people have nothing in common. They have absolutely nothing in common except maybe taiva. You know, other than that, they have nothing in common. So everybody says, what a wonderful match. They have absolutely nothing in common and opposites attract. So it's a perfect match. That's ridiculous. Ahava, love, is dafka. Love is dafka in a place where there's going to be similarities, one will complement the other. But as far as oneg is concerned, I'm not discussing love. As far as oneg, delight, is concerned, it's true that there could be a very powerful oneg from an opposite. And that's why so many people confuse oneg for ahava. They make this mistake when they have an oneg. The ganze Welt macht ein oneg, you understand what's going on. You walk out on a Matzah Shabbos, you know, every single corner, every single park bench, there's somebody that's involved in this exercise of oneg. Oneg, there's a delight. It's a delightful thing. It's a delightful feeling. But as far as ahava, it's not love. That doesn't necessarily mean love. So oneg, the Rebbe writes, is davka meyadovra hofchi mimenu. Oneg, delight, is experienced davka from the opposite. Kama shekosef b'tayor reish pashas told us, alpi eila told us Yitzchak. Befeish has bincha asher ahavtes Yitzchak. The Alter Rebbe, his grandfather, explained this on the pasuk that even though we're so used to it, we take it so much for granted, and it seems to us as a harmless pasuk that's just telling us, well, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, so that's his father. So what's unusual about that pasuk? But of course, in terms of the midos of who they are, that is a wondrous thing. But Avram, who is total chesed, total kindness, completely from the right side of loving kindness, should give birth to Yitzchak, who is the embodiment, the merkava, the chariot of din, of gevura, of strength and restraint in the world. That is an extraordinary thing, that there should come forth from Avram the opposite of Avraham is an extraordinary thing. And that's how the Alter Rebbe explains that Yitzchak. He discusses the love that Avram had for Yitzchak as the love of opposites, as the oneg. Again, it's not an ahava in terms of what's expected in a marriage. But as far as the oneg is concerned, so the Tanya over there explains the difference between oneg and ahava and so on. Because the nature is to love or to be very attracted to the opposite. As it's written, mayim karim al nefesh ayifa. When Shlomo Melech is describing intense pleasure, intense delight, he uses the imagery of cold water upon a weary soul. You know, when you're really, really, really thirsty, and you're really hot and tired and thirsty, and you have a cold drink. So that's the imagery of Shlomo HaMelech to describe oneg, a sense of delight. So you of course see, skip the parentheses, that they're opposites, right? The person was very, very hot, and by having something that's very cold, you experience intense delight. After the parentheses. And so it is, if somebody is very cold, then the greatest delight is going to be to have some, you know, hot chocolate or hot coffee, something like that, cocoa or coffee, that'll give the person that oneg. Avram Avinu, who is chesed, which means the power to draw from milamala lamata, from above to below, because the nature of chesed is always compared to water, that flows from above to below. When you do something for someone that you love, when you're a kind, giving, loving person, there's always that extension, that giving to the one below. Below doesn't mean anything, God forbid, in terms of quality of or personality, but the one who needs. So chesed, and even if there isn't anybody who needs, the Baal Chesed, like Avraham Avinu, would stand outside his tent. Who can I give to? In other words, who can I shower this kindness upon? So chesed is a movement in Avodas Hashem. Chesed is always from above to below. It's the extension of one. It's extending oneself downward to give. That's Avraham Avinu, chesed. Ohev gam kenahipuch b'chinas Yitzchak, and the whole way of Yitzchak is from the lamata lamala. Yitzchak, of course, is compared to fire, and fire is leaping from below to above, right? From below to above. Yitzchak, of course, the entire life of Yitzchak was one great attempt to separate himself as much as possible from the affairs of this world. It's milamata lamala, the whole inyan of the whole mahus, the whole tenua, the soul movement of gevura is to withdraw inside oneself, to retract from the world, and to seek complete unification with the higher world. It's an avod of milamata lamala, and these are opposites. And here we can look at the parentheses. V'zo esle eze kenegdo. And of course, this is the deeper meaning in general. In general, again, the distinction has to be made between ahava. But and oneg. But in general, the attraction that exists between men and women comes from that source of eselo ezer kenegdo. That when the Torah describes to us the formation, the creation of Chava, of Adam's wife, is described as an ezer kenegdo. And Pasha Pshat, ezer kenegdo, of course, the Mefarshim discuss at length what does it mean Chazal, but ezer kenegdo means that on a certain level we know that they're opposites. And it's true in the Midos that the root of a man's soul is from chesed, is from Avraham Avinu, and the root of a woman's soul is from Din, which is Yitzchak Avinu. So the Ezer Kenegdo, that there can be somehow this love, this intense feeling of love, or an intense excitement, as a result of opposing characteristics, opposing Midos, we see this in the relationship between men and women. Right? That's what he says in the parentheses. So Esel Ezer Kenegdo, Hanukva Bechinis Mekabel, Shehi Milamata Lamala. So the nekeva, the feminine quality in creation is that which receives and then after receiving, that's milamata lamala vel ishech chukasech. So what's described in the Chumash is el ishech chukasech, that Chava was told that her desire will be for her husband. Again, that's like the ash, that's like the fire. Whereas the mashpia in the relationship, again, I'm not going to be explicit here. It's not the time for that. But in the relationship, the male is the mashpia, is the one who is giving, and the female is the one who is receiving. It's an avod of milamala lamato, milamata lamala. Umizet davke, kenegun b'chines dachar ha-mashpia, so each eich shukare, kenegun b'chines zachar, dachar zachar, ha-mashpia, ve-hepech lo, v'chulu, umizet davke, hu-atanuk. And that's why that intimate relationship also carries with it a great amount of oneg, in the very simple physical relationship, there's a great deal of oneg, because there is this relationship between the nekeva and the zachar, between din and chesed, between being mekabel and being mashpia, and these opposite kochos, as they interact, cause a tremendous amount of tanug, kamayim karmal nefesh ha'efa, like cold water on a hot day. But Tom the calls us. So the Rebbe didn't explain it. Well, why is this? Even though we know this to be true. We know this is true. So he writes, V'hatam l'kolze, huki tanuk tmidi eno tanuk. To rule in creation, that continuous delight is no longer delightful. Tanuk tmidi eno tanuk. See, now it is, whatever it is, your favorite food is French fries. You know, but, so this, you know, I have many stories like this, because when I was in high school and college, and I worked, in, you know, I was with caterers and all this. So you see that, you know, if you work, like when I got a job in a kosher restaurant, you know, in these places, I was a waiter. So in the beginning, when I was serving the, I love French fries. So when I was serving French fries, it was basically, you know, one for the customer, one for Moshe. You know, I was like, I made 50-50 split, you know, on the way out. You know how it is. And if I was really hungry, even on the way in, you'd take one that was left over. That's all it is. This. In the beginning, like for a day or two, three, but afterwards, Tanuk to me, Dana Tanuk. It's kiddu. It's like that with everything in life. And Hashem made the whole world function in such a way where out of the Chazda Hashem, I mean, in Halacha, that to prevent there from being a Tanuk to me, that there shouldn't be a Tanuk to me in a relationship, in marriage, that there shouldn't be a Tanuk to me. And Bechlal, the way everything is set up, even how Kosh Baruch Hu makes the body, that the way that the blood is withheld for a moment and then. And then it's pumped back into the body. Everything in the world is in this way of that it shouldn't be a tanuk tmidi. The Jewish people count time by the moon, goyim count time by the sun, and the Alter Rebbe explained, because that's from the side of tanuk tmidi, ain't no tanuk. The sun is a continuous presence. Whereas the moon, I mean, they're both continuous presence, but as far as in our lives, the moon is not. And the Jewish people, of course, are always compared to the moon. Right? She'asid el hischadesh kamosa. We will be renewed like the moon will be renewed. And that relationship that Hashem has with the Jewish people is compared to the relationship that we have with the moon, where it's not a continuous relationship, but when it appears, it's a very delightful experience. So the Jewish people count time in that more romantic way, whereas the non-Jews count time by they count their calendar by the sun, because the sun is a tanuk tmidi. It's a tanuk tmidi. It's always every day. I mean, it might not be a bright sunny day, but it's always. It's always there, the sun. It's always visible. So something that's always visible is no longer, or that's always there, is not in the bechina of being a tanuk. And oynig is davka, delight. And again, we're talking about intense emotional delight, is where something is missing and something is not there, and it reappears. It was gone, then it reappears. Or something that is the opposite of what you would expect. And that's, you know, that's how all of comedy works. That's how good comedy works in such a way. The unexpected. Right? If you expect a punchline, it's not funny at all. In slapstick, it has to be, you know, the goofier, the dumber, the least expected thing. That's and I always gave the example. I remember when, wasn't it President Ford, that Gerald Ford was hit by a golf ball, I think, once. And they were playing it over and over. Everybody's laughing, like a lechter. I mean, what's so funny is, what's funny is because it was the president that was hit with a golf ball. If it would be Stamish Mendrick, so then, you know, he's like, you know, lo yuslochi hit with a golf ball. But if it's the president, because from the president you expect the most dignity. He's supposed to be the most dignified, right? The most dignified. And like this silly thing happens, he gets, you know, bopped with a golf ball, so then everybody, you know, you can't stop laughing. Because it's the opposite of what you expect. Wherever it's the opposite, that's why with Purim you understand that Davkan Purim, the Indian of dressing up in the opposite. The whole simcha, the whole tzchoik of Purim is to be in that state, that matzav and ahafichu. Where opposites create tzchoik asal elokim. Yitzchak's name is tzchoik, Yitzchak is din. I mean, Yitzchak is din, and his name means to laugh. So that's how Kosh Baruch made things in such a way. But he didn't explain it. So taka, why is this? So he writes, so he says, tanuk to me deina tanuk. A tanuk is like, tanuk to me deina tanuk. L'chein ikar kabbalas. Betanug, I guess it should have been maybe a hey, a hatanug, I don't know. Maybe printing. L'chein ikar kabbalas hatanug, hu min ahavchilai. Therefore, the greatest tanug, the greatest delight will be from something which is the opposite. Shezo dover chodesh etzlo. Now, so why is that? Why is it you have such an oneg? Because when you're very, very hot, you become settled in that uncomfortable world of heat. And then there's something new, which is the cold drink, something which is new. And the klal is that from that we understand that we understand on our own, but the Rebbe is going to spell it out for us, is that when you experience something which is new, we say ki'imkum. The pasuk says ki'imkum akor chayim, right? Ba'orach nira ki'imkum akor chayim. It's like if you have a drink of water. You see, by the time we get the water over here, it's already traveled through so many different things and places. But you know how delicious it is if you could lean over by the place from where the water comes and to have a drink from that place, which now they claim to have bottled. I never quite really believe that. But if you actually can lean over that place before it traveled through so many foreign places. So the closer you are to the makor of something, the closer you are to the source of something, is ki'imka makor chayim, then the closer you are to the master of the world. And the closer you are to the Rebbein Shalom. Because when something is a davar chodesh, something new, where there's this chadshus, where there's something fresh, something new, and it hasn't yet become stale through time, or through coming into contact with things that are other than what it is. Wherever you touch the makor, wherever you come into contact with that which is the beginning, the essence, something which is fresh and new, so that's a tanuk. Samari de Gatanuk. This is new, it wasn't before. So the Rebbe writes, Yemen Hovki Los Rizal Dover Chodesh as Lolochain, Lachain Makabal Mizatan, Masha Enikang Shahadovish Shavalo, Ena Makabal Dover Chodesh. But when something is already routine and it's just all the same, then there's nothing new and there's no Oneg. It's not an Oneg. The capacity of the soul to experience oneg has manifested itself in these different inyonim. For instance, chasodim is manifested in things that are cold, and gvuras and things that are hot, as I said before, water. The water, which is chesed, is the quality of coldness. And gvura is fire, which is the quality of heat. V'ha'oneg asher kvar nimshach. Now, if there's an oneg that has already become materialized, if the oneg has already materialized, huvdom he'etzem koach hatanuk shebenefesh. Now, once you've experienced a certain oneg, okay, so you were very, very hot and you had a cold drink. So once you experience that oneg, that means that we have a meeting between chesed and din, basically. Right? That's what it is. And that produces the oneg. Now, because you've had this meeting between the mayim, the cold drink, which is chesed, and the burning, intense heat of the day, which is din, so this confrontation between these two kochos are producing the oneg effect. Right? That produces the effect of the oneg. But by this point, oneg has already become separated from the shorish and the soul, from its root, its spiritual root. Because the spiritual root is chesed and the spiritual root is din. That's the root. So it's already traveled if chesed has ended up like in a diet Pepsi, it's already gone quite a distance, right? We're talking about the midah of chesed. It's a midah el yoyna, mamish. It's a midah el yoyna. Chesed is a midah el yoyna. And din is Yitzchak Avinu. So Yitzchak Avinu is what? Yitzchak Avinu is, it's 90 degrees in Yom, it's like Yitzchak Avinu. So you understand that the Midos have already schlepped quite a bit from the root in creation, from the root in your soul. They've already taken a long trip. That you're hot and there's a cold drink. It's a long trip. So the Oneg is strong, but once it's materialized, it's pretty much, that's it. You'll have your one or two glasses. Okay. But then if you're going to keep on drinking, there's no longer an Oneg. It's nice, but it's not an Oneg. It's not. It could be already uncomfortable. It could be uncomfortable. Yeah. So that's what he says. V'onega shekvar nimshach chuvdol mi'etzem koach hatanuk shebenefesh shehu hagvor l'mala mi'prati hatanuk. In other words, the source of the tanuk, which is chesed and din, is way, way, way above the actual physical cause of, meeting of chesed and din in the form of a soda and a hot day, or a hot, you're being hot. V'zo inyan tanuk t'midi. Now that's why we have this rule, this principle in all of creation, that a continuous pleasure is no longer pleasurable. Because there's no longer a Tanu Chodesh. Because why? Because it's coming from the source of Chesed. It's just been generated down to the soul, into the hot person. But that's already it. No, the parasha's finished. You enjoyed it and it's done. Now, if the poor guy that won the lottery, that's an oneg. But once he's already a rich guy and he's becoming richer, to go from zero to a million is probably much more exciting than going from a million to 2 million. I wouldn't know either, and I'm sure none of us here do. But we can imagine that the einig from zero to a million is ein l'shav, ein l'tar. You could even say that the einig from going to zero to 1,000 might be more than from a million to 2 million. I mean, everybody's different, but it could be. Because here we're talking about an oni to an asher. So that's already din in chesed. And here we're talking about an asher l'ashro. So you're talking about chesed, nocha chesed. But it's not the same thing. It's certainly not the same thing. Omnam tanuk chodesh k'may ha'oni shemis asher harizeh ha'oneg liyose chodesh adayin ochus v'kosher b'mkar ha'tanuk. The reason why that's such a delight, the poor man who becomes rich, and he certainly will always appreciate, he should always appreciate his wealth more than the person who inherited wealth, I would imagine, right? Because there is that connection to the mekor ha'tanuk. It's true, again, Again, after a while, it becomes already something which is a routine. But the initial experience of an ani to an asher, as opposed to an asher to more asher, can't be compared. Because when it's an inyan chadash, because it's something new, that means it's like the water all the way back to the stream someplace up in the mountains. That's at the makor. You're meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the simcha. The simcha is that you meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it's the simcha of having a child. There's nothing newer in the world than bringing a child into the world. The simcha of having a child. That's why I always thought that maybe you have a number of people who are sick. You have sick people in the world, but b'derech klal, all the people who are the pro-choice, the pro-abortion people, the people who support abortion, if they would see a child, if they would be there and have a baby, they're ready then to take a baby's life. Most of them, I'm sure most of them couldn't imagine such a thing. They couldn't. If you see already a baby in front of your eyes. It's because they don't yet experience the new life that chaim. They can already think they can envision destroying a life inside. It's not a life; it is life, whatever they call it. But when a person has a child, so the child is mamish. You're touching you're coming into the closest contact with the kimcha mekor chaim ba'orach neror into the mekor chaim. That's why it says in the Svarma Kadosh Ramchal talks about it. That the greatest way that a person can resemble Hashem is by giving tzedakah. When you become a Makor Chaim, this is a separate subject we'll talk about another time. When you become a Makor Chaim, a source of life. When you become a source of life, it's the greatest way to resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being about tzedakah. Anyway, so there's this connection, the Ochus v'Kosh v'Makor HaTanik, v'Leihuv Dorim v'Nu Katanik HaTamidim Kein Yesh Bo Adayin Meha'oris Etzem HaTanik. V'Chul Kevin Shezeh HaTanik Nimshach Atim v'Makor HaTanik. It just arrived from the source of Tanugim. Now he says something here that's a little bit al pi Kabbalah. I'll do it, but I'm not going to spend much time in it. Just a minute. In the parentheses, Hagavazo Milas, and that is the Mila, that is the great exalted exaltedness of. It says in the pasuk Gomayin mi beis Hashem Yaitse, that it says that at the end of time there's going to be a spring that's going to come forth from the beis Hashem. And that's on a higher level than Al-Mailas V'Nahar Yaitse Mi Eden. I mean, history begins with a river flowing out of Gan Eden, out of paradise. And history ends with a spring of water coming forth from the Beis HaMikdash to the whole world. It's a very interesting thing, yeah? The world begins with a river flowing out of paradise to the world. From paradise to the world. And it concludes with a spring of water, not a river, but a spring, a mayon, a spring of water going from the Mibes Hashem. And the mayon, the spring of water, is on a higher level than the river of water, the Rebbe says. Ki nahar bina hasaga. So Al-Pi Kabbalah, a river, nahar, is the characteristic of bina, of understanding. Ava ma'ayon hu ma'ayin chayim, v'chinas v'chochma me'ayin timsa. Whereas a wellspring of water, you understand, of course, is ma'ayim chayim, is living water. That comes from the characteristic, from the koach in creation, it's called chochma. Chochma means the first spark of understanding, before it's become worked out. See, a river is already here, and it's going, it's beautiful, it's delicious, it's moving, it's wonderful. But the river is already here. It's a current, it's there. So that's connected to the level that's called bina, which means to understand something, means working something out. Whereas chachma is not that. Chachma is the drop of water as it first comes out from the earth. Because chachma means the first, when something first dawns upon you, and if you can imagine some like great composer, before the song is actually worked out. But it's like he's talking, I don't know how that works, but like, I don't know, he starts humming it or something. The person's like, now how do you figure out like one of these tones? I'm not talking about from the Heintek, you know, I'm talking about something really beautiful and deep, a song that's mamish, a song. You know, that chokhmah, that it's before it's actually understood, is that space between that which can never ever be described and that which you're trying to describe. And the Ma'ayan, the wellspring, in Chassidus is in the world of chokhmah. Well, you understand why. Because chokhmah is me'ayin timsa. Chokhmah is the emergence from nothingness. The first spark of understanding, of awareness. That's the emergence from nothingness. Whereas Bina is already working it out. That's why in Chassidus, the Tanya writes about it, that's why, can you guess male and female? Which is Chochmah, which is Bina? Which is Chochmah, which is Bina? What's the man? Huh? I asked, what's the man? How can you say Bina is the woman? You're right. Bina is, you have to speak for yourself. Right. Chochmah is the man and Bina is the woman. It's Beferish and Zohar like that. Chochmah is the man. You understand it physically also. The child develops within the mother's womb, correct? That's where the understanding, the unraveling, the limbs begin to, you know, these are eyes, this is a head. From the father, it's just a spark of being, you understand? That's why, what's Chochmah? Which is Chochmah? Tarash Shebechsav and Tarash Shebal Peh. Which is Chochmah, which is Bina? Huh? What's Tarash Shebechsav? Chochmah. Tarash Shebal Peh is Bina. Tarash Shebechsav is the seed. But what does that mean? It says in the Torah, you should share. What does that mean? What do I have to do? I have something, but what is it? Learn your idea. That's Bina, right? That's why the woman is compared to Torah Shebal Peh, and the man is compared to Torah Shebechsav, and that's why it's a very deep Indian. Why is it the women are forbidden to study Torah Shebal Peh? These are. I mean, without, unless there are certain very strict guidelines to how that should be undertaken. So this is all from the two worlds of the Ma'ayan and the Nahar. The wellspring, the Ma'ayan, is Chochmah, that fresh presence, the emergence from not having water. Whereas the river, it's beautiful, but that's already the union of Bina. That's my chokhmah, my ayin tims, it says in Pasuk. Chamoy ba'askola sechel chodesh yesh by tayne gadol. Right? When you first, let's say you're trying to figure something out. Trying to remember something or to figure something out. That first second when you have it. Sometimes you lose it afterwards. You can't. But the first second when it dawns upon you, you're learning it, you're trying to understand a taisis or something, and you're breaking your head together and it doesn't go. And then Something turns over. That's a fantastic tanug. It's a fantastic tanug. It's a you can feel like almost physically that tanug of chapping. Then you have to work it out and then okay, then you come to the other. But that's not a tanug anymore, the same as chochmah. Chochmah is a tanug. Because when you have a seichel chodesh, there's a merdeka tanug. Yesh bo tanug ol lefisha achshav nimshach mikoich haseichel. Why? Because if this has just arrived fresh from my brain, from the Makor Ma'im Chaim, from the quality that's called Chochmah, it's brand new, a brand new awareness. So after Nishach Mikoyach HaSeichel, Shesham Etzem Koyach HaTalig, and the Seichel has the Seichel, and the Nesham has the Koyach HaVoneg. B'chinas tol de b'duchel. I'll talk about that right now. V'zo inyan mayim chayim. Masha'enikain kishakvar nimshach mehachochma b'habina b'hasoge u'chumay b'seichel shenis yashnes. So something that you already know, that you already understand, it's already, you become ready, it's not exciting to you, it's boring. Ein botani. That's why in learning it's very hard to chazer. Everybody knows if you're learning in yeshiva, the biggest yetzahar is not to review something. Even though it's impossible to come talmud chacham unless you review, but you don't want to because you have it's a yetzahar. It's like a yetzahar for any oneg. That there's a tremendous desire for an oneg, and the oneg, the delight is going to take place by learning something exciting and new, not by reviewing over and over. You don't have an oneg from that. That's where you have to have your shemai. You have to be an elchiyit to review because that's not an oneg anymore. That's not fun. It's already nisyash, and it's old. So in botanical kach, me'erach sheyesh tanu bischadshus haseichel. Unlike when you have something which is bischadshus haseichel, like a new concept, something exciting and something interesting and different. V'zeu sha'tanug hu midova ha'ofchi davke sha'zayhu tanug chodesh v'lachein l'kach menagnim be'es ha'simcha ni'igunim shalmar ishchayr. Now you might disagree with this in Mitzias, because nowadays we might have different hanhagas. What does it mean, Marish Chayr? It means melancholy, songs that are melancholy. That, you know, Davke, at a simcha, at a happy time, that there's this cheshek to, like, you know, to have a kumzitz or something. It's an interesting thing. And when your mood is more kumzitz, you know, more like, you know, you're feeling more somber, than the tev is to have a lebedik and niggad. That's what he says. Nigun shomar shchay davka hainem mishum sheikar tanig mina hofchi davka. But there is a yuvan mashiyesh anoshim shemisangim davka min dugim shalchet v'vesimcha. So he says, therefore, you're going to see that that's why there are people. That's why there are people who they davka like fierce music more than slow music. And there are people that they love, like, you know, the dveikas and they're more connected to the slow music. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You have an interesting thing. You have by different chassidim and different nigunim, by different tzaddikim. You could, you know, that you could identify the spheres. I mean, you can see even when if you learn this swarm, you can see in the nigunim when there's a shifting from chesed to din, or from chachma to bina. I mean, the nigunim generally are encompassing. You mentioned Lubavitch, by many of the Lubavitch nigunim, the very very deep nigunim. That by the nigunim, how there'll be, you know, it'll move from different states. It'll go from a state of marishchayr and then lifts you up to a state of simcha, and then you get thrown back down, and, you know, and it takes you from one and that creates an oneg. Right? If you just have this, the song is just one tenua, it's one sound, it's one. Why is it that again, I'm a total amaretz when it comes to music. These are just you know, things that I've experienced, but not anything that I ever studied or understand on any scientific level. But in songs you'll have all songs will have two parts or three parts. You'll never have a song that just goes on and on. I mean, if it goes just one, it has one, it'll have the chorus, whatever you call it. I don't know, the refrain. What do you call it? I don't know the terms for these. But you understand what I'm saying. It goes and then it comes back to Ule ner to me, and then you go, Ule ner, you get thrown back and forth, right? You get thrown back and forth. And only gunim work in such a way. Of Aish and Mayim, Machach, Mabin, and so on. Chesedin, only gunim work in such a way. And if it doesn't work in such a way, there can be a tune that doesn't work in such a way, but then you don't have an einig from it. It's not, doesn't get onto the charts. Doesn't get onto the charts. I mean, I'm not talking, that I shouldn't say that, because in the secular world, all the things they call music defy the classical definitions of music. It's not music, it's some jungle beat. Yeah, so he says that there are people that they have, there are davka people that have more of an oinik from slow music and from cher v'simcha. V'yesh, next, up on top. V'yesh min igunim shomar shchor v'yogun amiriris k'moy b'yishmol. Now he says an interesting thing. He says k'moy b'yishmol by the Arabs. Nigunim hu shomar shchor. He says that the Arabs love music that's slow. Of mar shchor. U'mizem is angim. And they have a lot of einik from those kind of songs. Ube Edom, by the descendants of Edom, say the Christians, but it's hard to identify exactly what they say. But Western civilization, let's say, hula hepech nigunim shel chedva, that they like more fast music, upbeat. Hatamhu lefishi Yishmael yotzmi Avraham. The reason is because Yishmael, the Arabs, come from Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu was chesed the kedusha. Avraham Avinu, of course, is the world of chesed of kedusha. That means a fast song, right? So therefore, the Yishmaelim experience intense delight in a slow song. Because Yishmael is the opposite. Yishmael comes from chesed of klipa, the impure chesed, right? Yishmael is also bal chesed, but in an impure way. Rebsol is yotzi Yishmael chesed of klipa, that's called a chesed of impurity. Mavur le'el binyin avram asher ahavta is Yitzchak, binyin avram asher ahavta is Yitzchak, lefishu ahepech, kamarichain Yishmael. Therefore, Yishmael himself would not experience an intense joy from a song that's upbeat, as much as he would experience from a song of sad, melancholy, or a slow song, because he's the klipa of Avram. He explains there also that that's why the love that Avram had for Yitzchak, again, I didn't explain it, the difference between Onig and Simcha, Onig and Ahava, but the love that Avram Avinu had for Yitzchak was the love that Chesed has for Din, the Onig that exists between Chesed and Din, whereas Yishmael comes from Chesed the Klipa. Yishmael is not Din. Yishmael is Chesed, but Chesed of impurity. Therefore, the relationship between Avram and Yishmael was Tanuk Tmidi, and Tanuk Tmidi Eino Tanuk. What was a continuous pleasure? Chesed meets Chesed, it's very nice, but it's Eino Tmidi. It's Eino Tmidi. I mean, it's a Tanuk Tmidi, it's Eino Tanuk. It's Eino Tanuk, it's not a Tanuk anymore. It's Tmidi, so it's not a Tanuk. But Avram and Yitzchok is a Tanuk. Because it's Eino Tmidi. It's Eino Tmidi. That's what he's saying. Yegdol v'espashtim kein ha'eni shal chesed v'ched v'hu Tanuk Tmidi lo. Then Einik canal, Masha Einik kein nigunim shomar shchar yoganim iris ha'Einik behem chodesh etzlam ma'od. But by the Arabs to have a nigun that is slow, that's something new, because the Arabs come from Yishmael. Yishmael is Avraham Avinu is Chesed, except in an impure way. Therefore, the impure songs that they listen to, they prefer that they should be slow, because that's an Einik for them. That's something new. Ma'id yarev l'navshem yikabel tasevus chizik al yadam. Ube'edom is just the opposite. Ube'edom is l'hipach. Lios kireisha de Esav bet puyi de Yitzchak mibchinas haGevuras. Okay, so Esav comes from the impure side of Gevura. Yitzchak, of course, is the holiness of Gevura, and Esav is the impure manifestation of Gevura. But that means slow songs that are leaning towards despondence, let's say, and that kind of more of a sad niggin, which is a Gevura of impurity. Therefore, Esav, the people of Esav, the descendants of Esav, enjoy very much fast music. The slow songs for them, that's an einig tamidi. And that's why Hagom, Yizeh Yesh Lahoyer Le'inyin B'noi Da Avram B'galusa De Edom B'noi Da Yitzchak B'galusa De Yishmael. It says in the Zohar an astounding thing, that the children of Avraham are in the Golus of Edom, and the children of Yitzchak are in the Golus of Yishmael. Again, I don't want to get sidetracked, but when Avraham Avinu was able to, let's bring it into terms that I'm more familiar with instead of this, we're not so familiar with it. In terms that we're familiar with, the greatness of the Akedas Yitzchak. Why? Now I know that you're God-fearing. In other words, who's having an oneg at the Akedas Yitzchak? Hashemsberg's having an oneg. For whatever that means, Hashem's delight, it doesn't mean, we're not getting into the whole Shiloh of Hakad Hashem, let's not get into that, into Kleinikite. Kleinikite, that's big stuff, but it's not for now. Right? But, because we also know the answers to these things, the answers. So Hashem is Baruch is having an oinig. What's the oinig? The oinig is that Avraham Avinu, who's Ahav and Chesed, he goes to perform this act, the ultimate act of cruelty, to kill his own child, which is the embodiment of his own love that he had for Kadosh Baruch Hu, and his own love that he had for Sari Main, right? So to go and to kill Yitzchak. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, is this geschmack? Oh, is this delicious? This is delicious. Because you understand that to be mevarer who you are, you have to be able to. You know, we spoke about this in the beginning of the Chassidus classes, when we're doing a lot from Rabbi Arlis to Lashina, from Avadus Halevi, that there's a very beginning in Chabad. That all birurim, all clarifications of who you are will take place only when you're thrown into the opposite place and opposite way of you. Then you can be mavara, the essence of who you are. Because until you're in that, look, on a very simple level, this is the very beginning, but on a very simple level, a bar mitzvah boy gets up and he says, "I'm going to go to tzaddik." And everybody says, well, a tzaddik is a little bar mitzvah. It's very nice, I mean, a tzaddik. But the truth is, you don't become a tzaddik when you're a bar mitzvah boy. Maybe you had people, it was different with the Gro and other tzaddikim. But even then, you know, there's a famous ma'aseh from Gro. You know, the Dubna Magid. That the Dubna Magid was by the Gro. And the Gro, the Goyin, asked him for Musa. And the Dubna Magid, of course, said, I'm not saying any Musa for the Gaon. I have nothing to say to rebuke the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon says, well, I don't understand. You're Dubna Magid, and it's your job. So the Magid said, okay. Magid said, you know, it's to be a Vilna Gaon locked up in a room with Svarim. He says, maybe there could be other Vilna Gaons, but to be a Vilna Gaon in the marketplace, it's a different business altogether. In other words, he was telling the Gaon, why don't you go out to see some of the people and talk to Yidden and be outside a little bit and see what's going on. You know, so they say that the Vilna Gaon was crying, they said, for days about that, about the Musa that he got. And afterwards, I think he used to go for 5-10 minutes or something. He'd go a little bit like this, you know, and he opened up a little bit. He had more people that were able to come in to learn with him. He heard it, you know, on his level. I mean, obviously the role of the Vilna Gaon in creation was not to be the Baal Shem Tov, was not to go, you know, out to the towns and villages. That was not what he was supposed to do. And God forbid that would have been a kilkel. So Gaon's thing was to be in his room, But what the Magid was telling him is, Vilna Gaon, you know, to get to the oymek, the very depths of who you are, there has to be that pulling over to the, you know, that experiencing the opposites. And this is a very beginning. We spoke about in the first Shiur Machzidus, that only where there's the hapochim, when there's the opposites that are clashing, can there be a beer of what is the, so what is, that's what you have in science too, and everything in the world is, there's a, the thesis, the antithesis or the antithesis, and then there's the possibility of coming to the oimik, the birur of the synthesis of which doesn't mean something that loses the characteristics of each. It means the shleimus adav can only be after the birurim. So the Jewish people who are the softest, gentlest, most kind, the kindest, most wonderful people in the world, to become Bnei Yisrael had to go through Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim is the filth of the earth. Mitzrayim is the Erev HaSaaretz, but you and every one of us goes through that. Every one of us goes. You don't put yourself into such places, but you pass through these things. You pass through these things. That you go through all kinds of hafachim in order to bring out who you have to be. You have to go through a hepach of what you are, because you understand psychologically, it makes sense that in order to refine and to cut away all that is false from your midah and to bring it to this to shine inside of you, it has to come up against its greatest enemy. Right? It has to come up against its greatest, and the greatest enemy is the opposite of what it is. So only when there's this confrontation with the enemy can there be this true victory, or else what is that's a victory? I mean, if you're gonna play the New York Knicks against some high school team, so that's gonna prove that the Knicks are great. No, but if you bring together the opposite koach, you know, that exists in basketball, but in such a koach, but in that koach. So then, they're ready. There could be a beer of who's the champion. That's not a beer. It's not a clarification of anything. You have to go through opposing, through opposition, in order to be mavara the essence. That's a klal. That's a rule, a principle in all of creation. That's how creation works. So what's happening here is that Esav therefore. That's why he says that the golus of the children of Avram is davke in Edom, and the golus of the children of Yitzhak is in Yishmol. So the Rebbe is explaining here, that's the meaning of that is, the way that Hashem has delight from your life is when you are mevara. That means you clarify, you become clarified, and you clarify your own life and your own path in this world by confronting the opposite of who you are, and in doing so to mevara what you are. Therefore, the children of Avram, Avram means chesed, Davka are sent through the world of Gvuros, through the world of Gvura, in order to go through that confrontation and that catharsis and to come out with the Ki'ati Yadati Kirelu Kimata, that Avram Avinu, who was the lover of Hashem, was able to fear Hashem as well, that caused Hashem tremendous onig. Now we receive. No. Yitzchok was Gvur. Yitzchok is Gvur. We receive now with the children of Avram and with the children of Yitzchok. From Avraham we receive the capacity for Chesed. From Yitzchok we receive the capacity of Din. When establishing those energies in the universe, Hashem made Avram, Yitzchok, and so on. But we receive from Avram Chesed. We receive from Yitzchok the capacity of Gvur. Then he explains. Okay, this is from Chinas Pnei Ashurim. He said, "Yeah, Tanuk Chodesh Nimzim Korchaim Tanuk V'chana Hepech V'na Yitzchok," so on and so forth. So that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you all experiences something new from you. When you pass through the opposite, it's Noedig, and you mevari yourself. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "That's Gishmak." And Avraham Avinu is able to take up Yitzchok. That's a biur of Avraham Avinu. Notice that he's a Yirei Elokim, that he's serving Hashem. He's not just because he has a nice guy. He's not a nice guy. This was what I was explaining at the Shia last Tuesday. This is the difference between the two concepts of Rina and Simcha, which are both words for happiness, for joy. But this is the difference between them. The Rina hu anigin shebebchinas merirus balias ha'olamis milamata lamala sheish beze merirus from the hachoshech shahoy lehamikoydem v'at eroim or gadol. Rina means the song that is sung after a person has been thrown into the world of merivus, of bitterness, and of choshech, of darkness, and of din, and emerges from that, comes out from that, so then sees an or gadol. V'agam ki yismuch, v'agam ki yismuchu ba'aliyah shalham simcha sheyesh ba'merivus u'mibnei shohoyu rechoykim tchila v'chulu. Because you were far away and now you came near. So being far away and then being able to be near, that gives birth to something which is called rina. That's called rina. That's what it means. La erev yolin bechi v'la boker rina. Right? In the nighttime there was crying, in the morning there is rina. Because that's the experience of coming out of the nighttime. That's rina. That whole capital of Tehillim is talking about these opposites. What does it say? All the psukim there, and the whole capital. So I was in the darkest pits and you lifted me up to life. And every single pasuk there is talking about opposites. And then it says, because it means the boker that follows the night. That's rina. Now, there's the way that David Melch describes the coming of Mashiach is, because it means the joy of Geula of Mashiach after the opposite, like the cold water after the rina comes after the opposite, which is galus. Laboker rina. Skip the references. Al Kain, let's finish very quickly. It's called pleasant and not sweet. That's why the Levium were the ones who were singing by the Karbanas. The Ne'imas Kolo the Sume Kolo, because the Levium come from the world of Din, of darkness, of night. The Kohanim come from the world of Chesed. So the Levium are singing because they are the ones who experience the Rina of coming out of the darkness into the light. Because they had that Oneg. Because for the person, for the Kohen, it's always light. It's always Chesed. So he doesn't have that song of Rina. What? Because the quality of the Kohen is Chesed. So that's a Tanuk Tmidi. But a Levi, his quality is din. So when he experiences chesed, there comes arena. Flaboke arena. Because by the Levi, it's din. It's night. And therefore, when there's a revelation of chesed, it's flaboke arena. He experiences on a very deep level. That oneg, that delight that the Levi has. So, Renan Baramso, Belias Amincha the Yitzchok, Tomichel Ben Harbai. That's why the Mincha, which is the Tfilah of Yitzchok, takes place. It's getting late. I don't know if we're going to be able to finish. The Tomashul Ben Harabayim. After the parentheses, the Zel Perish La Bokarina, Bepsuke de Zimra, Dugmashir Halavim. So every day we go through this Labokarina, after the night, which is din, and which is concealment, and Hashem being far away from us, then you come to the morning and you sing the beautiful songs of the of Halalukas and Ashrei. He says that's like that corresponds to the songs of the Levim, Sha'olim Yachoshot Elayla, coming out of the night into the morning. That's the joyous outburst of song with Psukei de Zimra, which corresponds to the singing of the Levim. That's already simcha. That's already serving Hashem. But achbo lefanav bernana tchila sabiyah lefanav sheyatzu min achayshech la'or. But bo lefanav, but when you first arrive in Hashem's presence, that's bernana, that's rina. That's rina, because that's bo lefanav, that's when you just got into the king's presence. That's rina. After you were in Golos. And then comes the sweet chasodim and the simcha of Shema and of Shema Esrei and so on. In other words, coming out from the darkness of the night, that's called Rina. Enjoying the ongoing flow of the day, that's called simcha. That's called simcha. And that's Ivdus Hashem b'simcha, but bo'ul l'fan of benana. That's simcha shal mitzvahs b'tfilin, b'tzitzah shekarim ha'tfilah, shulamat l'malaz or bo'ul l'fan of benana. And that's why before davening you put on tfilin, you put on tzitzis, because before davening to be able to have the simcha of mitzvah, actually it comes out the rina of mitzvah, bo'ul l'fan of benana, to appear before Hashem in the joyous garments of rina, it's by putting on talis and tfilin, after the night of concealment, the first, like the Beditzvah, used to wait till come the time that he could put on, after Sukkot, to put on Tefillin. He would wait to put on the first second. Or to be able to bench Lulav when it was Sukkot, he would wait the first second. Because it means feeling the sudden reappearance of Hashem's presence in your life after a time that there was concealment. We should be Zoichim Mitzvah Hashem to see the reappearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. Abiyas Mashiach Sekeinu, Mehem Yomein Omein V'Amein.